Second Kings chapter number 2, please. This story here has intrigued me ever since I started preaching. I've studied it many, many times. Preached on this down through the years. And I believe it's the cry of every young preacher, what's in these verses here. But I believe we need to know what's being said here. And so we can intelligently process these truths and principles, how they relate to us. A tent meeting's a whole lot more than what you see on the surface. Meetings like this, there'll be men get settled things about the will of God for their life. There'll be some that'll get quickened to have a burden for revival. There'll be commitments made in people's lives following to all the days of their life. And it's very important that these days that we get what we can while we can. Christian life, you go from faith to faith, grace to grace, glory to glory. And you go to another level, you got to go to another, you got to step up in faith and in commitment and in trust. And some of these things we lay our heart bare before God, and only the Lord can bring you there. The sinner can't save themselves. The sinner can't bring themselves to God, but they can yield to the Lord and He brings them there. And that's Christian life. You live the Christian life like you got saved. You got saved by repenting. You got saved by believing. You got saved by trusting and depending and submitting. And you live the rest of your life the same way you got saved. That's right. And you keep repenting and you keep believing and you keep yielding. So here in 2 Kings 2, I want you to remember the background here. To me, the history of Scripture enlightens the whole story. Now, this is not textual or exegetical this morning as much as biographical, just a little bit. And what we're dealing here is the wisdom of God. This is amazing to me. Here you've got one of the greatest prophets that ever lived in Elijah. One of the greatest. He was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. He'll be there in the millennial kingdom. Or not the millennial. Yeah, of course he'll be there. But he'll be one of the two witnesses. I believe he'll be Moses and Elijah. In the tribulation, as the two witnesses. John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. And John the Baptist did not do the miracles of Elijah, but he had that anointing power like Elijah. You ever thought about John the Baptist? The Lord told him to go down to the Jordan River and start preaching. That in the middle of the wilderness. And God, and Elijah, no doubt, or John the Baptist said, "Well, Lord, where's the congregation?" He said, "They'll be there." And the Lord drew them out of all Jerusalem and Judea. Drew them down there. What about that? Now that's what God can do when He wants to. No, that's right. He had to get them people away from that religious crowd in Jerusalem to get them down there where God could get their ear. And where they could get baptized without being intimidated by that religious crowd. Amen. That's what God used old Whitfield. God just pulled people out in the fields and get them out there where God would work on them in mass numbers. What I'm saying is, it would have taken, think about the power it would have taken for John the Baptist to do what he did. Now these men are ministering in northern Israel. There's no temple there, no tabernacle there. There's not a legitimate priesthood. That God's got the greatest prophet or one of them that ever lived right in the middle of apostasy. Not down south. Where all the heritage is. Up there around Ahab. And all them devils. All that witchcraft. And all that demonism. And all that powers like Jesus Christ. When he went up to Caesarea Philippi to make that great statement. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Simon, son of Jonas, you're a blessed man. You're blessed because you found out who I am." Anybody finds out who Christ is blessed. That's where all the blessings start, when you find out who He is. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And he's standing there right at the bottom of the fountainhead of the Jordan River, where they committed human sacrifice in the Old Testament to Baal and the god of Pan and all that evil, standing there at the gates of hell. They're going down into the lower world. That's what they believe. This is, Jesus is taking his illustration right there that he's looking at. And he said, in spite of the devil, in spite of all of his power upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's up there again in northern Israel, telling them the gospel's going to go wherever the Lord sends his men. And when they go there, there'll be power over the darkness. Amen. Well, I better get in this scripture, but this is the environment that Elijah's facing. I mean, total apostasy. So here in 2 Kings 2, came to pass when the Lord take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. Oh, Lord. I love it when God shows off. Shows up, shows out, and shows off. Oh, Lord. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophet that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? He said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Now, why is these young men trying to be a discouragement to Elisha? Because they don't know what he knows. They hadn't seen what he's seen. They've not lived the life he's lived. They're shallow. But Elisha made a vow to Elijah, and he will not back up. Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here. I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. He said, as the Lord liveth, thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? He answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Now, to these men's credit, these are the sons of the prophets. To be a prophet, you had to have the spirit of prophecy. These men had the spirit of prophecy. They knew Elijah was going to be taken away that day. These were not young men that didn't know God. They just thought they knew more than they did. Isn't that the way we all started out? Verse number 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. We're always going to get that place of death, aren't you? He said, as the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they stood by Jordan. God's providence was to let them see it. What's about to happen needed to be done publicly. It needed to be done before men. Elisha needed to be given God-given credibility publicly, for the hour had come. Elijah took his mantle. That mantle represented his office and his anointing. He wrapped it together, smote the waters. He's a dying a miracle. And there were divided hither and thither. So they two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, before I read another verse, if I do, Here, this shows us, brother Hobbs, the humility and the meekness of Elisha. Elijah's very interested in the answer to that question. It's going to say everything about Elisha according to how he answers that question. What do you desire most of all from God? That's what he's asking him. He said, I'm going to give you one request. God's going to let me give you one request. And I'm going to give it to you, but you better ask the right question. Here, Elisha, he lets Elijah know, God knowing everybody know, he can't do it. He don't have the ability. He doesn't have the gifts. He doesn't have the stature to be what God's called him to be. That if he's going to walk in the foots of Elijah, he's going to have power like Elijah. Amen. When we say we're preachers, boy, it demands the power when we say that. But what a request he made. He said, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Thou hast asked an impossible thing. That's what he asked, an impossible thing. Because only God can choose Elisha to follow Elijah, and only God can put this on a man. You can't earn this. It's got to be God's will. Now, every man can be full of the Holy Ghost. Every man can have, you can have the anointing that God's going to give you to get the job done that God sent you to do. No more, no less. I need the enabling power to get done what God has called me to be and me to do. And I got every right to ask him. I got every right to claim it. And I got every right to wait on it till it comes. You say, well, I got the Holy Ghost in me. Well, I got the Holy Ghost in me. I need to get the Holy Ghost on me. And you ain't going to get the job done. On you will. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Holy Spirit wraps himself in the personality of a man. He takes that unique personality and that unique mind, and the Holy Spirit expresses Christ through a man's eyes, through a man's hands, through a man's mind, through a man's words. When it's sanctified, he knows the whole man. When a man's saved, his spirit's regenerated, so he'll have God consciousness. When you got regenerated, God put some of him in you. He put the new nature in you. He made a holy of holies where the Spirit of God can dwell. Your soul is a holy place, your mind, will, and emotions. And when your mind and your will and your emotions are surrendered to the Lordship of Christ, then the Holy Ghost can move into your soul. That's what that Old Testament, Christ moving where they couldn't enter in to minister when Solomon dedicated the temple. That's what that's a picture of. And then God moves from the place of the soul, and he uses a man's mind. Preachers, you know, there's nothing in 10 worlds like God quickening your mind. Quickening your voice. What God got in your spirit, he moves out into your soul. And then he moves out to express it through the body that God give you as the temple of the Lord. Amen. Boy, the Holy Spirit needs to be poured out. People talk about, well, I got the Holy Ghost. I ain't worried about that if you're saved. He needs to get us. Boy, there's special times. You got to walk by faith in the daytime and say, Lord God, where are you? I'm just going to walk with you, and I'm going to try to pray, and I'm going to listen to good music, keep my mind on you. I'm going to call somebody, maybe get up a good conversation about the Lord. I don't know the times. I've been on the phone and God quickened my spirit talking to somebody. Sometimes I don't pray for people as much to help them as help me doing it. Amen. But when you need God, he's there. When you need that touch and faith to pray for somebody, He's there. That's what this is all about. Not me using God as I would a ball player use a ball bat. God using me. Amen. So we got, well, I better get back and read this. I'll get hung up here. Came to pass when they went over. Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I should do for thee before I be taken from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Thou sayest a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. If not, it shall not be so. You know why? Because Elijah knew the ultimate decision was with the Lord. And Elijah told him, if God lets you see me translated, that's the sign you're going to get your request. Amen. Came to pass as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, parted them asunder. Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? My daddy told me he was having a camp meeting rally back in either the maybe early 60s on a Saturday night where Brother Tony Dyson pastors St. John Baptist Church. There wasn't many people there. My daddy told me, oh, Brother Arthur Blackburn preached that night on where is the Lord God of Elijah. Man, he said he thought they was going to get raptured. Amen. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? When it smitten the waters, they parted thither and hither, and Elisha went over. And the sons of the prophets, here, watch this, ladies and gentlemen, which were of you at Jericho saw him. They said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. When they saw that the anointing of Elijah rested on Elisha, then they came and they surrendered to Elisha as the chief prophet and the administrator of their school. Only God can give a man credibility publicly. Now, a lot of preachers can get up and brag on somebody, and there's time to honor me, and I know that. But only God can really give a man public credibility, where people will follow them. And that's what all of us men of God need. Sunday school teachers need. Daddies and mamas need. They need the evidence of the Spirit of God resting upon them. Now, when I look at this scripture right quick, there are several questions come to my mind. What is the double portion? That's got to be properly understood. Not only that, why would Elisha dare ask for such a thing? Brother Randy, he didn't ask for the spirit of Elijah. He asked for a double portion. That sounds bold to me. That sounds almost presumptuous to me. But it's not. Because God the Holy Ghost told him to. Boy, if your desires are right there, you're not asking too big. If your desire is to honor God, glorify Christ, Christ made of himself no reputation. And if your burden is not to promote you, but to promote God, you can expect the power of God to come on you. Now, God does promote some men. God does put some men in the limelight. That's his will. I remember one of my good preacher friends, old Brother Charles Worley, he said he's a young pastor. If I remember the story right, he was driving a little old Volkswagen. I surely to God it wasn't one of them 6 volts. That's about the biggest, nearest nothing I ever. I had one of them things. You had to get the thing hot, you got to push it off, and you'd have more light with a flashlight than them headlights at night. We're getting off of that. So he's going down the road, got a wife and two little girls. He's got a little family. Got a little church. He said, Lord, it looks like you could give me more than 12 people. God said, you ain't fit the pastor of the 12 you got. That broke that old, oh Lord, brother. He went home that day and he got down in his study. He said, oh God, it doesn't matter if nobody ever knows my name. As long as you'll touch me and bless me. There wasn't a man in our whole area used in local churches in the 80s and 90s that seen especially lost church members saved. God used him mightily. Every man has got to come to that place. God, if I'm not known, hallelujah. Nobody knows my name, glory to God. I'll pray for somebody that you put out front. God, if you want to put me out front, hallelujah. I just want to do something. I want to operate in the gifts you give me. I want to operate in the purpose you give me. I want to quit telling you what I want to do. I want to yield to what you want me to do. Boy, it's a great day of victory when you get there. Lord, what would you have me to do? Now, what will the double portion do for him? Now, we've got here Elisha asking for this double portion blessing. And that's my thought. Elisha's cry for the double portion. Elijah is about to be taken up into heaven. Some of that question is going to be revealed in the response of Elisha when Elijah went up. What did he cry? My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. He took hold of his own clothes and rent them in pieces. And now notice, he called him father, father. What was Timothy, spiritual son of Paul? What was Joshua, the successor of Moses? What was Elisha, the chief son of the prophet that got the inheritance of the firstborn? That's what this is about. Elijah looked upon Elisha as his son. That's my firstborn. He didn't have any sons physically. That's his firstborn. And the firstborn got a double portion of the inheritance. And that's what Elisha's after. If I'm going to lead these prophets, if I'm going to be the administrator, they got to know what's on you is on me. They got to know publicly that I got credibility from heaven. That I didn't promote myself. I've been promoted from another world. I want to tell you something, man of God. It is the right prayer to pray. God, if you put me in a church, you do it supernaturally. So people will know I didn't politic for it. I didn't promote myself. You put me there. And God, you give me the evidence of the supernatural. You bond my heart with these people. You say people do things that are supernatural. And that's what every man needs, God, to validate and to vindicate him. That's what Elisha said. God, I can't do what you want me to do. You got to come on me. You got to give me what I need because I don't have it. Brother Randy, there's a lot of preachers think they got it. And they ain't. Elijah was his spiritual father. Now, when you read the commentaries, here's the range now. They'll say that Elisha followed Elijah at least 10 years, and a lot say 20. So, Brother Randy, this wasn't a fly by night. Elisha would have never been ready that day he left the oxen. Oh, no. He had to walk in the footsteps and learn to be a servant before he could ever be the leader. He had to get a servant's heart before he could be put in that place of the limelight. So let's say for 20 years from the time that Elisha or was called by Elijah until his translation, he was his father. That word father is a term of endearment. It's a term of enlightenment. Elijah was Elisha's mentor, his father, in the faith. Now notice this. Elijah was over three schools of the prophets. You know who started that, don't you? Samuel started the schools of prophets. Boy, I appreciate good Christian schools. I'm telling you, where I went helped me immensely. Amen. But I'll tell you what, God got a hold of me for anybody fooled with me first. And then I got a lot of help from men. Thank God for experienced men that can help you. Oh, Lord, I want to hear the old men. Help me. Tell me how you walk with God. Tell me how you survive the storm. Tell me the dark places in life. The victories. Brother Randy, when I started preaching, I'd drive for hours to find an old man of God. I'd aggravate them to death. You pray, won't you pray over me? I get the old-fashioned women, too. I want every hand I could get on me. I wanted to be sanctioned by heaven. I wanted God's power. You say, well, you got to live the life. Well, I was trying to live the life, but I needed power to live the life. You know everything God asks you to do, you can't do. God's commandments are God's enablings. He told the man with the withered hand, stretch out thy hand. And when he tried to stretch it out, God gave him the power to stretch it out. God tells you to believe when you can't believe. God tells you to come and you can't come, so you realize you can't come and you can't believe, and you'll yield to God and trust Him to bring you. That's exactly right. God's never told you to do anything you can do. Because you do it in your flesh, you'll be proud. Everything you do has got to be sanctified, touched by the Holy Ghost. God, help me to hurry. I'm getting bogged down. So Elisha was the number one spiritual son of Elijah. Notice, he wanted to inherit the ministry of Elijah. Now, men, women, listen. This is not arrogance. Elisha was out in a field. He's plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Brother Randy, there's that Brother William. Brother William, there's been a drought in the land. What was it, 3.5 years? That's right. And Ahab got so scarce in the meat department, they was eating horses. And they almost ran out of horses. Here's God got a wealthy man, Elisha's daddy, that right after the drought has 12 yoke, 24 John Deere or Massey Ferguson tractors. In all of that famine, and God sent the rain, and they're plowing the ground. Elisha's the superintendent. He's at the back. If there's ever been a crop that needs to be brought in, it's that one. Elijah shows up. He chose one of the richest boys in all of Israel, no doubt. He laid the mantle on him. I'm telling you, Elisha didn't have volunteer for that job. But when that mantle hit him, he felt the power of that office. He never felt it again until the day that Elijah went up to heaven. But God let him have a foretaste of where he was going to put it. And by faith, he walked in that direction. By faith, he started walking in that direction. Sons of the prophet were to honor him. They got to honor him if they're going to follow him. Have the last days of Elijah on this earth. The sons of the prophets didn't take Elisha serious. See, that goes to prove he's just washing the hands of Elijah. Well, he's just taking care of it. They didn't see. It's like old Goliath. He's sitting out there mocking David. It's like the rest of that crowd in Israel. And David's just standing out there, the stripling of a king. They saw a shepherd boy. God saw a king in that kid. God sees a prophet in this man. He's going to bring him there. Spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elijah. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. That don't mean they worshiped him. That means they recognized the office that God had given him. Now let me hurry. So this firstborn, the portion, is the double portion for the son. And say a whole lot more about that, but I don't have time. Now you got the request for this double portion involves God's mandate. Folks, listen. I want men to believe in me. I want God to believe in me. If God believes in me, God's people will believe in me. The ones that's supposed to. And sometimes God will hide you. Nobody even knows you're alive because you couldn't stand it if God promotes you anyhow. He knows when to do it. He knew when Elisha was ready. Hallelujah for God's wisdom. He's real smart. So Elisha is going to replace Elijah. Notice here, this double portion involves God's mandate. It involves Elisha's meekness. He never asked for this before. No, sir. He never got out of his place. He went in like David, in and out among the people. He loved his little pastor. He tried to back him up, just waiting on God to send him forth. Elisha knew in his youth and inexperience. Now here's where I want to get to, where I want to get right here. Elisha knew that in his youth and inexperience, because he's going to live to be about 100. Brother Randy, he knew he wasn't half the man Elijah was. He knew it. But he probably also knew Elijah wasn't half the man he ever was till God put his hand on him either. Watch this now. Here's what Elisha's facing. He's not half the man Elijah is. He's never had the influence Elijah's had. He's never had the insight Elijah's had. Never had the discernment that Elijah had. I'll tell you, Elisha here, he has never seen miracles like Elijah. He didn't have that brook experience of the ravens feeding him. He didn't have that Zarephath experience of a widow woman taking care of him. He didn't have that experience on Mount Carmel. He wasn't there when the fire of God fell. He didn't have those experiences of all those deep miracles that God did for this great man of God. He didn't see how God destroyed the prophets of Baal. He didn't see the fire of God lap up the wood and the rock and the sacrifice. He didn't see all that. But he didn't have to. Because Elijah did, and Elijah told him about it. And he wasn't there, but he was there. There's a lot of things happening in the history of the church. I wasn't there, but I don't have to be there. Because I've heard the accounts, and it's just as real in my soul as if I was there. Elisha had not seen what Elijah had. How could he have? He's another generation. Elijah had instilled. What did they do for 10 or 20 years? They walked around with Elijah telling Elisha the stories of the miracles, and the faith of Elijah is being put in the heart of Elisha. He knew it was real. He knew if God ever done it before, he could do it again. Here's what I know. If anybody could have got out of preaching, it'd been me. I tried it. And God wouldn't let me. You know why? Because I know how inadequate I am. I hope I do. I probably don't like I should. I want to tell you, Brother Randy, I didn't volunteer for this thing. I got drafted. Believe what you want to. In the Old Testament, the call to be a prophet could not be refused. It could be delayed. It could not be refused. Boy, Elisha's name means God is salvation. Elijah's name means God is Jehovah. Elijah had paid the price. Now listen to me, young men. Elijah had paid the price that Elisha never did. But he didn't have to. God didn't ask Elisha to pay the price Elijah did. God's not asking you to pay the price David Brainerd did. God's not asking you to pay the price George Whitfield did. He's asking you to be available and pay the price for this hour. He wants you to. You don't have to be another man and live another man's life. This younger generation, Brother Randy, when the younger generation came over the Red Sea, that younger generation that was born in the wilderness had never been slaves. They didn't have that experience. So are they not going to be as great a Christians? Oh yeah, they're going to inherit Canaan land, and the ones got delivered didn't. You don't have to have Percy Ray's experiences. You don't have to have D.L. Moody's experiences. You need those that God is going to give you to develop you, empower you, and give you credibility for others. So Elisha here left all that fortune, all that wealth. He left his future. He left his family. He left his fortune. And he is single-minded going to follow God's man. Before he did, he honored his parents. He took those two oxen he was plowing with. He cut those things up. And back then, that would have been a rare thing. Invited everybody to come to have a celebration. I'm going to go follow God. Shout with me. People come there crying, telling their daddy, "We're so sorry you got a son so stupid. He's going to go follow the ministry instead of becoming a rich businessman." Oh, Elisha said, "I want you to rejoice with me. I'm going with God's will." He burned the bridges behind him. Amen. Boy, Elijah here is content to be Elijah, and Elisha's got to be content to be Elisha. Had the call of Elisha. He promised him. Here's what Elisha told Elijah. You know why he wouldn't quit following Elijah? He promised him, 1 Kings 19:20, "I will follow thee." And he never broke that vow. He kept his vow. He's willing to serve behind the scenes with no recognition. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Hey, man, I love that. That shows you that old boy's heart. Now, what's this? 2 Kings 3:11. Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire the Lord by him?" One of the kings of Israel's servants answered and said, "Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." What was Elijah or Elisha known for? Pouring water on the hands of Elisha. Elisha was God's humble servant. He was content to be in the shadows. So Elisha here is God's humble servant. Secondly, he's God's honest servant. He kept his word. He done what he said he would do. He was determined. He had integrity. He had tenacity. Boy, they journey this day right quick. They journey about 30 miles from Gilgal, not the Gilgal in the south where the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River. They're going from north to south that day. There's a Gilgal in the north. That's where they started. And they started that trip of descent down to the Jordan River. Start at Gilgal. Then they go down to Bethel. And then they go down to Jericho. And I'm not going to get into what all that means. You men's all preach that. But the closer that they get to the Jordan, they're going down, down, down. Get up with God, you got to get down. Be exalted, you got to be humbled. Boy, the school of the prophets sought to hinder him. Well, they didn't know. They didn't listen. They were trying to hinder him. Probably didn't even know what they was doing. Because fleshly men think fleshly thoughts. Boy, Elisha, he wasn't in no hurry to get rid of Elijah. I tell you, he mourned when he saw Elijah go. What did Elisha say when he went up into heaven? My father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. You know what the chariot and horsemen of Israel are, don't you? That's their defense forces. That represents all their military. The chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha said that Elijah was more powerful in his prayers and his office than the protection of the nation of Israel and all the armies of Ahab. That God's man is the chariot and the horseman of Israel. And that's true. God's people's our defense. Elisha declared the life of Elijah, faith of Elijah, prayers of Elijah, ministries of Elijah, the defense of Israel, And he said, God, if I'm going to serve you in this apostate pagan day, in these last days of the kingdom of Israel, before they're scattered, I've got to have power even more than Elijah had. And I think we've got to have it too. You got the mandate and the meekness of Elisha here. Then you got the miraculous power, miracles of Elijah. He took up also the mantle of Elijah, fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah, fell from him, smote the waters, and said, where's the Lord God of Elijah? When Elisha had smitten the waters, they poured hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Elisha never made a name for himself. God made a name for Elisha, like he did for Elijah. Let the anointing and the power of God precede you that you walk with God. Somebody gets sick, say, call old so-and-so down there. That man or woman, they're people of prayer. God hears them. The words got out. They got God's ear. Let God promote you. You can't promote yourself nohow. You'd do it in pride and I would too. What a difference when God promotes a man or a woman. Elisha will follow in the footsteps of Elijah and God will give him twice the opportunity. Elijah lived to be about 100 years old. He performed twice the miracles that's recorded that Elijah did. And we see how that God fulfilled in his life. He became the hope of Israel. That old king down there, he's about to be invaded by foreign power. He went down there, the man of God. Elisha said, why do you have to wait till you get in trouble to come down here? Won't you live for God? He told him to shoot the arrows and then got mad at him because he had such little faith. He said, if you'd have shot all the arrows, you'd had all them victories. Now your victories are limited because you didn't have enough faith, didn't have enough spirituality to ask God for the whole thing. But Brother Randy, when Elisha died, Joash, king of Israel, came down and he wept over his face. He said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof and the very thing Elisha said about Elijah is now said by a heathen king about Elisha. Worth more than all of the armies of Israel. Folks, I don't think we understand. I know I don't. I see some of the young men God's raising up in this country that are great preachers. And I see so much hope down the road for this next generation because there's some men preaching the old time gospel. Man, do they ever need the old time power. Brother Randy, I'm sticking with the old message, the old method, the old means, the old motivation to see the old manifestation of the miraculous power of God. I think about today all this pressure's on us. Boy, if I could just do enough penance and if I could just pray enough hours and if I could twist God's arm enough, well, you can forget about all that. You find out what God chose you to do. And you find out what your place is. And just bow in humility and accept it. Yield to it. That's what you'll be anointed for. And then down the road, when it's your turn, in your time, God promotes some men in their 20s. He does some in their 30s. He didn't even call Moses to go deliver Israel. He is 80 years old. That's in God's control. That's His sovereignty right there. But when God calls us, there's that waiting time where we prove that we'll serve and we don't have to be served and we'll minister and we don't have to be ministered to and that we're God's humble servant. You know why? That's why they call us ministers. We minister to God's people. We minister. We feed them. Bread of life. We're under shepherds. Take care of God's flock. And you got every right to ask God for all the power and the wisdom it's going to take to lead the flock and for God to give you the right sheep. I don't want somebody else's sheep. I want them God wants me to have. Them that ain't mine won't follow me. Man, power is available. But you can't come to the altar one time and snap your fingers and say, no. You got to be in this thing long term. I will follow thee. When they're getting saved and when they're not. When they're saying amen and when they're not. When they're persecuting me and when they're blessing me. I will follow thee. And you only say that in humility. God, I'll follow thee because you're the one. Call me and you'll give me the power. Encourage me. Let me run with the right people. Let me run with praying people. Let me run with people that love God, love others, and want to help you. Brother, we're getting on up in age. We need the anointing, don't we? Greater than we've ever had. That's what meetings like this are for. God touches. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I don't know how to finish this. All I know is you're going to have to ask God to bring you to that place where you really yield to Him. I mean, you yield to Him. Times like this, God lets you feel the power. He gives you a taste of it so you'll pursue it and get where God wants you to be. I don't want to call names and be a snare to somebody. But what if out of this meeting, God launches some men in power? Brother Randy, we'll just sit back and say, God, fill us with a double portion of the Holy Ghost so we can pray for them. Cheer them on. Cheer them on. Boy, Elisha didn't jump at this thing. God put it in his spirit. Lord, you know what we need, and within ourselves, we don't have it. And God, we don't want to be seen, but God, you put men in the forefront. That's your will. If you didn't, we wouldn't have leaders to follow. And I pray, God, that among us will be Elisha's. One day will be the Elijah, have the mantle upon them, and the double portion. God, in the stillness of this, we pray for our dear evangelist, Brother C.T., preaching this meeting. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh. God, we need what our forefathers had with you. But I believe we need a double portion of it. Double manifestation. I know we're not going to get more of the Holy Spirit, but you can manifest yourself. God, we're in such apostasy. Such a confusion. And God, we're dealing with witchcraft, demon-possessed people. Oh, God, we need the anointing like we never have. Great God, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to believe. Teach us how to follow. Oh, Lord, thy will be done, Father.